Welcome to Queers on Queens. I'm Juju Garcia.
And I'm Philly Hughes.
Johnny Darlin is actually, unfortunately, really sick today. He has a little fever. Adele's taking care of him and Lana Del Rey.
Yes, Adele.
They're feeding him Campbell's soup at the house. So
yeah, I love that you picked Adele to take care of him in his sickness.
Why wouldn't she, honey?
You know what? I feel like she would do a great job taking care of someone when they're sick.
Would Lana, though?
No.
Yeah, I feel like if you think she... No, she wouldn't.
No,
yeah.
I feel like she'd be feeding him cigarettes and whiskey, being like, this will make you
tougher. So like a great caretaker in that way, but not like actually productive.
Yes, true.
So we miss Johnny Darlin, but he will be back soon, hopefully next week. we're praying for him. Everyone should pray. If you don't like our tweet enough, we don't know, you know, if he'll survive. So next time we post on Facebook or Twitter, you better love it, the shit out of it. Or Johnny might die, you know?
Send him your well wishes because he needs those to get better because that's how it works, right?
Yes. That's how well wishes affect the world. So anyway, what have you been up to, Philly?
So Philly is currently slightly jet lagged. I recently just got back, as I mentioned in the last episode, from an amazing, just like mind-blowing vacation in Italy. It just was so fucking fantastic. So
glamorous.
It was so fucking glamorous. So I was in a part of Italy called Positano. Mm-hmm. And it's this beautiful village that's just like in the cliffs on the Amalfi Coast. And it was like crystal clear water where you could like walk up there and see your feet and you could just float in it and like beautiful soft rock beaches and just like... I still haven't fully recovered from the fact that I'm back in New York City because I landed at JFK and I like walked outside and I was like, ugh.
I love that you're casually, what is it, Positano?
Positano.
Sorry, honey.
I know. Oh, it was just so nice because it was my first European trip ever. Yeah. First time ever going to Europe, which was a lot of fun. And so we just did a little bit of everything. We went on a boat, which was absolutely fantastic and like sailed around.
I'm on a boat.
Yes. Literally, we got on the boat and I was like, everyone, I'm on a boat. And then the boat driver started playing the song. And I was like, he didn't start playing the song. It was me and a friend. We started rapping the song. It was so good. It was so good. I mean, my boat driver also was deeply hot. Can I just say that? And any one of my friends who were with me and were listening to this can vouch for me. He was like 7 foot
tweet
tall.
At us.
Yeah, tweet at us to verify it. He was like 7 foot tall, built like a house, like, and not like the like I work out of the gym 12 times a week, but just like a thick like a tree. And I just vividly remember being staring at him for the entire boat ride, which was 2 hours long of me just drooling over him, to where one point everyone went to the front of the boat and I was just sitting in the back of the boat talking to him. When I finally went to the front, they were like, yeah, we saw what was happening, so we're just gonna let you have that moment. Yes. And I was like, thank you. I really needed it because I was just a squirrel trying to get a nut up in this tree.
Oh, no, honey.
But aside from that, it was really fantastic and wonderful. And although I'm happy to be back in New York and sleeping in my own bed, like my first Italian European trip was just unmatched. I was with some of the most amazing people. We took gorgeous photos. I'm riding the high from it, but like also feeling a little down because I'm back.
That's what it's all about, honey.
Yes.
And 100. Just remember that life is lived in your head. And you can go back to those memories at any time.
I've been doing it daily, hourly. In fact, I'm doing it right now.
You're doing it right now, honey. We're on a boat.
Just
imagine that. Feel the breeze on your back. A nice glass of red wine in front of you.
Well, he gave us Prosecco when we were on the boat.
Come on. We're drinking beer. It's the same thing. It's carbonated.
Ooh, honey. Well, I remember his name's Roberto, and his friend owns a restaurant here in New York. So I will be going to the restaurant and being like, hi, so you know Roberto? When's he coming into town?
Oh, my God. So you know who else loves to have sex with boys named Roberto on the Amalfi Coast? Mariah Carey. Segue to me.
Yes.
While you were in Italy being fucking legendary and iconic, Mariah fucking Carey came to a Madison Square Garden with Lionel Richie.
Oh.
And performed the shit out of the place.
Yes, okay.
So, what were they doing? So the Mariah featuring Lionel. Did you hear about them touring the country together?
No, I didn't know about this at all.
You see, that's part of the problem because I was never in my wildest dreams going to go because I was like, it's too expensive, it's not worth it. And, oops, I burped. Then a friend messaged me being like, girl, the tickets are $20 on StubHub.
20?
There were $20 tickets at one point. It was insane.
For Mariah Carey and Lionel Richie.
For like, I got really nice seats and they were like a penny. Like, but like, it was still like, it should have been much more expensive.
Yeah, for those two artists? Wow, okay.
Yeah, it was insane. So clearly the problem was that no one in the country knew about this tour. and so I went to see them. Mariah blew me away. Her vocals were better than they've ever been. And me and another friend named Lisa that went there, we're like experts on Mariah. And we can tell when she's lip syncing and stuff, you know?
Right.
So it's funny sometimes when people are like, oh my God, clapping. And we're just kind of like, that we knew that was lip sync. But then there's other times where we know it's like special that, you know, when we can tell it's being live and other people are like, wow. And we're like, yes, queen. So there's like two sides of being like a fan of Mariah. But anyway, she gave the vocals. She delivered everything. However, Mariah's whole thing, she's always just been kind of like low key, like tiny cabaret show kind of thing, I guess.
Yeah.
Lionel Richie, bitch. Let me tell you.
Was he everything?
No, he was everything. Beyond, like, his show produced, I can't. He puts on a Beyonce level show of like insane visuals and pyrotechnics and lights and
really?
Sound.
Lionel Richie's old ass.
He's almost 70.
Is he really? Oh, I didn't know he
and
was
he
that
still
old.
Has the Jesus. Voice of the 70s still.
Damn, okay. I didn't know he was that old. I thought he was my parents.
No,
age.
He was 68. He's 68.
Oh, wow.
And
okay.
He was the sexiest man alive that night to everyone in the stadium. Everyone was popping off for him. But anyway, it was amazing time. I do want to say about Mariah, I have to bring this up. unfortunate. Despacito featuring Justin Bieber's white ass is now tragically currently tied with Mariah Carey featuring Boyz II Men's One Sweet Day.
Yes, it is.
For the longest running number one single ever in the world.
Yes.
A Justin Bieber song.
I hate him so much.
I hate him. Like, you know, Latinos, like, amazing. Let's root on for them. But no, bitch. It's a Justin Bieber song. That's why it's number one in America. Because we can't just take any old, like, Mexican or Latino artist. You know, there has to be a white name attached to it.
Oh, hell yeah.
And it had to be Justin Bieber. And now this bitch is tying for number one with my queen for her record. And, you know, I don't know what's going to happen by next week. We'll let you know what happens, but... I'm kind of terrified.
I'm very depressed about this, honestly. Because have you heard the version without Bieber on it?
Yeah.
It's just as good. It's just as good.
Yeah. It's purely like a marketing thing.
It's slightly better.
Yeah. It's purely a marketing thing. And he's trash. I won't get into it right now because my segment time is running up. But basically, I'll say that. And I'll also say Vogue just dropped this insane video of tour of Mariah's closet.
Oh, Lord. Okay.
Just go watch it. We'll link it in the show notes. It's amazing. Her makeup artist didn't realize they were going to use such harsh lighting, so she has insane beard contouring. Oh. But anyway, go see it.
Bye. Oh, not Mariah. Not Mariah. Oh, not the queen.
Hi, you're listening to Queers on Queens, and we're sponsored by Mariah's Thong Cleaner. If you have some thongs, are they a bit stenchy, honey? Have you been hitting some high notes in them or some deep low notes or anywhere in your 5-octave range? Do you need some detergent for them, honey? Oh, honey, let me tell you about this discount code. Mariah's Thong Cleaners is the latest detergent invented by NASA scientist Albert Einstein. That's right. Albert Einstein came back to life and became a NASA scientist and developed a detergent for Mariah Carey's thongs. They're our sponsor, and we know you're the perfect demographic, market, or whatever. You can go to mariahsthongdetergent.com /QOQ and type in the discount code OHHONEY! With a honey emoji icon. And you're going to go ahead and get 10% added onto your order, because again, it's a privilege to listen to us. Bye.
So we're back, and... I feel like we'd be remiss if we didn't start our pop news segment by talking about someone who spends way too much time in the pop news headlines, in my opinion.
Tony Bennett.
God, not Tony Bennett.
Yes.
Not,
come on, Tony.
Tony Bennett. I mean, Tony Bennett's legend, but I just, no. I don't like what he does to Gaga. Anyway, that's a different story for a different day. So what I want to talk about is Miss Catherine Elizabeth Hudson. And she recently, about 3 days ago at this point, maybe four, I don't care because I was in Italy and time was irrelevant there. She dropped her video for Swish Swish.
What is that?
It is the failed single from her failed
single
album.
What? Single image or...
it's a singular dollar bill. Actually, it's called a Swish Swish in this world. But it's her failed single from her failed album, Witness, of which a tour I will probably still go and see. Maybe I won't. Zhu's giving me a face. But I just want to say that, like, if you haven't seen the video, you don't need to because you can already imagine what the video is about. The song is called Swish Swish. So obviously this video is themed around what?
I don't know.
basketball.
Okay.
You looked at me and was like, what?
What? No, I've actually seen it, but that I never got that until the music video.
Oh, okay.
Because I probably ignored the song so much. So I was just trying to.
So then maybe it's just me who like read it. As soon as I heard it, I was like, she's going to do a basketball theme music video. I know it. And she did. And it was just as cheesy as you thought. It has some amazing people in it, though. It has like Molly Shannon, who's like SNL royalty, Terry Crews, who like everyone loves from Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and Everybody Hates Chris. He's in it as well. And they're playing basketball coaches. And Katy Perry is like the star player on this terrible basketball team going against a team called Wolves, and their mascot is a wolf wearing a sheep because she says like a wolf in sheep's clothing in the song, because we know Katy Perry is very surface. Very surface going on there. But it's just a mess. Like, the video makes no sense. It's 6 minutes long, A. For a song that is 3 minutes, she has a six-minute video.
And every second was wasted.
Every second was purely wasted. And it was so bad, in fact, that Nicki Minaj's part was clearly green screened.
Oh, my God. Like, oh, my God. No, wait. Me and my roommate were watching it together. And the moment Nicki's part comes out, we're like, yes, it's a totally different video.
It truly was a totally different video. Like, Nicki Minaj recorded her part and clearly did not know what the rest of the video was about.
Oh, not at all, honey.
No, because Katie's like running around in this like basketball jersey, playing basketball, falling over the place, trying to be like cute and cuddly or whatever, right? And then Nicki comes out and just like pure pop glam and like this like powerful bodice with her hair down to her like ankles, just like serving you everything, right? And then you see the part where Katie and Nicki come together, and it's so clear that it is green screen and that someone just fed Nicki the line she was supposed to say make the two come together.
And at the end, she gives a smile and wink like, I saved this music video.
Because she truly did. Yeah. Like, I was literally watching it. I was like, do you think Katie recorded this without Nicki? And luckily she didn't, because that's the only saving grace. Katie. All I can say is swish, swish, a miss. So
yes.
Nice try, girl.
Nice try, girl. So the headline for your news will be like, Nicki Minaj, humanitarian.
Yes! This year's Humanitarian Award will go to Nicki Minaj for saving Katy Perry's career.
Saving trash songs and music videos one day at a time.
Giving us the greatest meme of all time. You basic bitches can't even spell, bro.
Yes! Strut away.
Yes.
So, what? I can't. I would be remiss, I guess, if I didn't talk about the biggest piece of pop news this week, which is at the VMAs, the Video Music Awards. The MTV Video Music Awards came out. I was giving some poses that you guys couldn't see.
But they were fantastic. They were amazing. Fantastic. They were high glam.
So I heard someone named Katy Perry hosted them or something like that.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah, I don't know her. I'm joking, guys. If you're a real fan of Queers on Queens, you were seeing that we were live tweeting the event. And we were really into it because there was so much trash happening. Oh my God, I can't.
Garbage truck on fire, that's what it was.
I honestly, I can't even, like, this is an entertaining audio because I can barely, like, get my mind around how awkward Katy Perry was as a host and how basically Estelle, all the performers were, the only good performers were the ones that they would cut away from for a commercial break.
Of course.
Like, literally the only interesting acts, they would just stop. And they would just cut to a commercial break. And I was like,
of course they do.
What? What? Ed Sheeran's dumb ass gets like 6 minutes or something. Kendrick, I mean, Kendrick puts on a lit show. Mm-hmm. But even Kendrick, like, I just feel like probably the VMAs dampened him down or something. They were like, no, honey.
Like, they're like, you're a 12 and you need you to be like a solid 4.
Yeah. It's the MTV VMAs. So as you guys can see on the tweet, we just eventually stopped. Like, we couldn't. It was just too boring. We stopped watching halfway. We don't know who won the last awards. I saw the Katie. Oh, no, I did see the Katie and Nicki performance the next day online.
Katie and Nicki performed together?
Yeah.
That's how much I paid attention.
And, of course, Nicki did the same shit where it was just, like, boring. And then Nicki was like, I'm here.
Yeah.
But then, like, that's it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, not much could have saved that, darling. I don't know. What are your thoughts about the VMAs?
I mean, I usually love the VMAs because usually what happens with them is that they're just a lot of fun. You know, they get together. It's just, normally it's trash, but it's like it's the good kind of trash, like a golden trash bag and not like the standard black trash bag.
Yeah.
But this year I feel like they were a little bit flat.
Yeah, it was like maybe like a transparent gray trash bag.
Oh, yeah, even better. Yeah, one of those transparent ones that like break whenever you put anything in them. That's
anything
like a little too heavy.
Yeah,
we didn't have any Glad Force Flex this year. It was just like, it was just garbage. And it was disappointing. Like, I woke up because I fell asleep because the VMAs were the day I got back from Italy. And I remember I woke up at like 8. I woke up at 8 and I was like, oh, I'm going to watch them for a little bit. But then, like, I like opened my Instagram and I got ready to go. And like, I saw the outfits and I like saw the tweets. And I was like, actually, I have no intent in wanting to engage with this. So I put it on in the background and literally fell asleep a smooth 30 to 45 minutes in. I'm not sure because I was like, I'm asleep. This is done. I'm done. Maybe I was jet lagged. I'm not sure, no, honey, but it also could be that the show.
I was ready. I bought beer and snacks.
Yeah.
And nope.
Hey guys, thanks so much for listening to Queers on Queens. This is just our friendly weekly daily reminder to you all to please rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast. That's the only way to stay up to date on all the latest episodes. Plus, it lets other people know how much you love our podcast and how much you enjoy listening to us. So share the wealth, share the love, hashtag Queers on Queens.
And if you want to connect with my gorgeous body, this is Juju Garcia, by the way, you can go ahead and follow us on Twitter or Facebook at Queers on Queens. And then if you want to send us a more long form situation, we'd love to hear from you personally. If you want to send anything privately, like nudes, or really serious live advice. you can be like, Juju, you need to calm the fuck down and then do a whole thesis on it. It's queersonqueens@gmail.com. Look forward to hearing you. From you. Okay, everyone. Welcome back to Queers on Queens. So we're on to our main topic today, which is... I can't even make any jokes anymore, honey. basically, during the VMAs, some artist released some like video project or something that they did with some like project. Audio experience that they made, I guess.
In GarageBand,
at most. Look What You Made Me Do by Taylor Swift. Did you see the video part? It came on pretty early in the show.
Yes, so I saw the video. Taylor, all I can say is, look what you made me do. I have to tear you a new asshole right now.
No. Let me get some lube, honey.
So, I mean, I guess to start off, just talking about the song on its own, I will say that when I heard the song for the first time, so I was still in Italy, and so Italy was like 6 hours ahead, so I actually didn't hear it when it first dropped. I didn't hear it till like the next morning, which was like 3 a.m. America time or whatever. And I just saw like all these articles being like, Taylor Swift dropped her new song. Taylor Swift announces new album. All these things are happening. And I was like, oh shit. Okay. Well, like, let me be a responsible queer and like look into this. And I started playing it. And about 30 seconds into it, I just turned it off. And I was like, no.
Yes.
No. Yes. I didn't want to do
it. Did you hit the chorus first yet?
I did hit the first chorus, and like after the first chorus, I was like,
That's when it dies. There's no chorus.
I was going to say, to be fair, there wasn't a chorus to wait for it, and so I just turned it off.
There's no chorus energetically. Like, structurally, I know what the chorus is, but it's, like, not a chorus. Like,
absolutely not. Yeah. Absolutely not. Like, I didn't want to fully engage. The only reason I fully engaged with the song is because some of the people I was with were like, Phil, Taylor Swift dropped a new song. How do you feel about it? And I was like, oh, as a resident gay pop star, like, put it on, and I'll tell you how I feel about this garbage. And I was like, you know what?
30 seconds, pause, stop, I'm good. Okay, so this is what I think.
That's literally, like, the best part of the song is, like, the weird little, like, phone call interlude when she's like, blah, 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 old Taylor can't come to the phone. Why? She's dead. And I was like, oh, well, that was cute. And then the rest of the song, I was like, snooze fest. Like, it's so, like, mid-tempo, boring. Like, it's not a thing, there's nothing exciting happening. It's like her, white bread.
But you know what? You know what? I was kind of terrified the moment it opened because I love the opening sound of the song.
Yes, that is kind of interesting.
And with the instrumental throughout the rest of the song, it sounded very experimental, like she was going somewhere. Mm-hmm. But then it just didn't go any. It just nothing. It didn't push any boundaries. It was not good, which is the worst sin you could do. She's a talented pop music songwriter. I will give her that.
Oh yeah.
Beyond we'll talented, but you know. The worst thing you could ever make is to make something not catchy or good or, you know.
Especially her. Her of all people. I feel like her whole thing is like these catchy utilitarian like pop songs that like anyone can be like, oh my God, I love it.
And if you're gonna do something progressive, it better still be amazing. Like it better be amazingly.
Yes, especially her. Considering her progression from like country pop darling to like where she is now, it's like you have to keep giving us something.
Yeah.
And this did not.
Yeah, and like I'm good. She doesn't have to keep giving me anything because I wasn't buying it, you know, for a while.
Right. You're like, I'll pass on this dish.
Let's talk about the music video a little bit.
Yes.
Great gowns. Gorgeous gowns.
Gorgeous, gorgeous gowns.
Young artist.
Great direction of some kind.
Great art direction.
Yes. I will say the saving grace was Joseph Kahn, honestly.
Like, he made that music video?
Yeah. He directed it with her.
He's directed several of her music videos, mm-hmm. right? So they like each other?
I guess.
So I don't like him? I don't know. What is it?
I don't
it?
Know how I feel about that. You're right.
Well, you know what? I like it. Like, if I think of it that he's being subversive, he's like infiltrating from the inside out. Right. Like taking the money from Taylor Swift and being like, I'll give you something, I guess.
Right. But I mean, if we want to get like super critical, we can talk about the complacency of Asian Americans and the uplifting of white supremacy in our society. So all I can say is maybe that's what's going on there, Joseph.
So what do you mean white supremacy, though? I don't think Taylor Swift represents white supremacy at all.
Mm-hmm. And Santa Claus doesn't represent Christmas.
Oop. No, that's my first thing. So, like, I don't know if I, before anyone tunes out because they think we're just hating on Taylor, you know, she's one of the most powerful acts in pop. So you're listening to Queers on Queens. You know, it's a pop music podcast. We have to talk about her. The only thing is that she is so controversial and evil because she literally represents everything about white supremacy in a subconscious way mm-hmm. in pop culture landscape right now.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's just too much. I actually got this weird guy that we know. That's a huge Taylor Swift stan. He's been invited to her house and whatever. He posted on Facebook something like Kanye is to Taylor as neo-fascist or neo-Nazis are to Antifa.
Right. It was Taylor is to Kanye as Antifa is to Nazis. And it was like, what?
What? And I was like, and I literally didn't get it. I didn't even get what he was trying to say there. So I was just like, so I wanted to make a point. I was just like, oh, did Antifa, because that's apparently you're supposed to say Antifa.
Oh, Antifa, okay.
Which, whatever. Antifa. did Antifa go ahead and create an entire career based off of white innocence and white, white fragility and things like that? And he just blocked me from Facebook. We had been friends on Facebook for years, and I was so happy because I'm glad he read it. And I was genuinely confused, but I was also trolling him. But what he meant is just that that Kanye provoked Taylor or something like that.
Which, I mean, like,
I was like, what are you talking? Like,
right,
stop.
So here's the thing. No one, I think, in the entire world can ever say that Kanye was in the right for doing what he did.
But not deathly wrong.
Right. So, like, Kanye's sentiment is how we all felt. Beyonce did have, it was Taylor won for Best Female, right? That's what it was. He went up during Taylor's win for Best Female, even though Beyonce, we all know, ultimately won Video of the Year that year for Single Ladies. So, yes, Kanye was right in his anger that Beyonce should have won Best Pop Female Vocal or whatever the category was. Yeah. Fair. But for him to go up on stage, take the microphone from her, and embarrass her in that moment, I don't think anyone who, like, anyone who has a slight moral compass would know that's not a good thing to do. You can say that, but you don't need to go on stage and embarrass a human being like that. Like, she's still a person, and this is pre Snake Taylor Swift. So this is, like, still when she was like, you're not a terrible...
Well, I think this moment made her a snake.
I feel like this is the moment when all of us started to see who she really was. Because for a while, she had her finger in all of our eyes. And then after this happened with Kanye, we all started to watch more closely. Because it was this, you know, big, scary black man, like, threatening this, like, small,
King
innocent
Kong
white
figure.
Girl. Right. And so it's, like, one of those moments where suddenly we're all watching and, like, analyzing this moment. And I feel like, honestly, that was a pivotal moment in Taylor's career. Because after that, she just, in my eyes, fully changed. She fully changed.
And fully ran with the victim narrative. Because first of all, she knew it was profitable because everyone identifies with a victim. Mm-hmm. And then on top of it, just reinforcing this image of, like, this big, scary black man running up to you and ruining your life kind mm-hmm. of thing. Oh, my God. You know, of course America's going to get behind you and support that. I mean, Kanye is not the best person, but he's a genius. And, like, the world is taking him down so much. And she is just, like, a huge part of that. And the fact that she can't even... I don't know. She's just a snake. Every boyfriend she's ever had, she writes bad songs about them.
Right. It's just,
she,
like,
just has no, there's no soul there. I'm sorry.
I don't feel like she has, I mean, maybe she has a soul. I don't fucking know because I don't have one and I'm a better person than her. So I don't know what's going on with her. Maybe that's what it's like when you have a soul.
Ooh.
But it's just like, for me, here's the thing. The Kanye thing happened, right? And then suddenly she's like, a few years later, like, oh, me and Kanye are cool now, like, we're all fine, and made up that lie about how her and her brother bought the Kanye album or whatever the first one came when they were like 15 or whatever. If you look at when the first Kanye album came out, Taylor was like a smooth 10. So it's like, you already lied about how old you are, being able to listen to the album in the car with your brother, because neither of you were old enough to do that. So you didn't need to lie there, A, girl. Like, that was your first mistake. And then B, for you to then go on and then have the whole Famous situation with the Famous video, where Kanye, which was slightly disrespectful for him to refer to Taylor Swift like out of her name in that respect, in that particular way. But it's like, you know, there are receipts of you being like, yeah, I think that's cool, I think that's okay. And then for you to come out and try to defend it and then have Kim Kardashian be like, actually, here's
the receipts.
It's like, so you clearly were trying to play this victim and be like, I was hurt, like I was assaulted again by this big black man.
And then this whole music video is just like, there she goes again, playing the victim, as if she's poking fun at herself, but actually she's saying like, she's making fun of other people, making fun of her.
Yeah. For doing that. It's just, she's not being self-aware at all. What it is that she's being like, this is what you guys are doing to me, and I'm going to show you that, like, it doesn't bother me because, like, I'm tough and, like, whatever. It's like, no. Like, I need her to stop, because to go back to the point of the video where she's, like, literally playing on all the tropes that society and everyone has been treating her as lately, and sort of being like, oh, like, Taylor Swift is this innocent girl that everyone just keeps picking on, and she's so sad, and, like, no one can help her, and it's like, you're not. Like, clearly, like, she's a smart girl. Yes. Right. Both of her parents are very well educated.
She came from genius.
She came from a very well-off family. She knows what's happening in this music industry. She's been in it since she was 15.
She knows what's happening racially in America.
Exactly. She understands everything. And I think it's very important that, like, you have to, like you were saying, you have to watch these kind of stars and their power and see what they say and when they say it and how they say it. And I feel like, not to make, you know, apples to apples, because Taylor Swift is not in the same league as this, but, like, I think about what happened with people like Beyonce, how for a while people were like, Beyonce's not saying anything. She's not coming out. She's not talking about things politically being charged. And then suddenly Beyonce was like, very much like, I realize my role in this, and that even though I may not be a political figure, people look to me as like an icon of society. Yeah. And so, like, I'm pro Black Lives Matter. I'm pro all these different things. Taylor has not said or spoken in this.
And she never will, because you get the sense, at least from Beyonce, that it wasn't that she was blatantly trying to not be political necessarily, or more so that it was useful that she wasn't political for a while.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, to just get into people's hearts and get accepted by the general population.
Yes.
And then on another, like, more kind of pragmatic scale, where you need years and years of practice in order to be an excellent master of your craft. And then she waited for that moment in order to then become, you know, do what she really wanted to do to influence the world politically and culturally. And you get the sense that she's never going to do that.
She's never going to do it. And what makes me so mad is that all these celebrities who are usually people of color who do speak out about issues of people of color, suddenly we want to be like, well, they're anti-police or like all lives matter. But like,
or they're too political, this word. Yeah.
But like, Taylor Swift's ass is sitting here not saying anything, and nobody pressed her. Nobody's saying, just like, leave her alone.
And does the worst white feminist thing, where she's like standing up for like women, but like not really, you know?
Standing up for women, but like only white women. Like, where is the intersectionality and realizing that women come in more shades and shapes than just the ones who look like you?
Yeah.
And like, for you to have all those women of color in your Bad Blood video when you wanted to like talk about how Katy Perry was mean to you that one time, like, where are you standing up saying like Black Lives Matter? You have black friends. You know, where are you standing up and saying that like LGBT people are important? You have LGBTQ fans. Like, where are you as this huge pop star, this beacon of hope and light for so many young people in our society? Why are you sitting so quiet and saying nothing? Because I granted, like you said, it's hard to sometimes figure out your place and what to say, but like, you don't have to say anything more than just like a, I support you no matter who you are. Like a Dolly Parton, it's being like, I don't care what your shape, cut, green color, whatever your religion is, like, I love you and I'm here for you. And just like, just know that. Like, and I feel like somewhat of her power saying that would mean so much.
The thing about that comparison is that at least when Dolly Parton was coming up, it was revolutionary to even say something as general and basic as that.
That's true.
For Taylor, I think she probably has said something along those lines, but it's a new paradigm. This is a new world where that every decent human has to be able to like accept people for no matter who they are. You have to say, no, I support Black Lives Matter, and I am against over-policing. You know, you have to stand up specifically for things. And I think she has done the whole general standing up because it's very safe to do that.
Yeah.
And she has not done any specific standing up because she doesn't really give a shit about anything. She cares about making money, and she cares about not her legacy. I don't know. She cares about making money. Clearly.
I don't even know what she cares about, to be fully honest, because I don't know what she's doing right now. But all I can say is, like, the snake imagery that she's adopting for this, like, I know she's trying to be tongue-in-cheek because, like, everyone's calling her a snake, so she's going to be a snake, but I honestly feel like, I'm just so tired of her victim narrative and her, like, running around being like, everyone is so mean to me that, like, I just can't, I can't get behind her. I can't support her. Like, even if the music is catchy, like, it's just making me hate her more as a person more, because it's like, you're just doing everything so wrong. Like, you're not actually being like, look, I admit that I was wrong. I admit that I make these mistakes. Like, I'm not a perfect person. I would respect that more. Or if she did the opposite end and she's like, you know what? You're right. I am a total frigid, terrible fucking bitch. Fuck all of you. I'm going to make a dope ass song and you're going to love it anyway.
Yeah.
I would respect that a thousand times more.
Just being human.
Being human. Honest. She's inauthentic. She's ingenuine. And she's like a fake Gucci bag down in Canal Street.
Okay, girl. So, but here we are giving her more press. That has been Queers on Queens.
Oh, no.
Hashtag Swifties. Let us know what you think.
Oh, God. They're going to come for us.
No, I said some shady things to Swifties when this came out on Twitter. And some of them would like my tweets. So I'm like, I was like, is that you being shady, or you just like any tweet that someone throws at you and you don't read it?
I think they just saw Taylor Swift mentioned. They're like, Taylor Swift, like.
So anyway, Swifties, tell us what you think. This has been Queers on Queens. I'm Juju Garcia.
And I'm Billy Hughes.
Bye.
Bye.